Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you in this new year from God, our Creator, from Jesus, our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to us again today to create faith in us. One of my very first responsibilities as a pastor in my very first call was to visit campground sites. Some of you know that it really wasn't an official call, but really the first time I served in the role of a pastor was in campground ministry through a Christian ministry in the national parks. And one of the things we were to do was on Saturday nights before Sunday morning worship in the campground was to go out and visit every single campsite in the campground where I served and then invite people to worship the next day. Not to my credit, but it wasn't long early in that summer that I began to make assumptions about who might be receptive to my invitation and who might not be receptive. And if you've camped in a national park campground, you know there's a whole lot of different kinds of people who camp in campgrounds. And so if I would come to a campsite where, first of all, there were Minnesota plates, because that's home turf for me, and maybe an older couple or young family, which were the people in the congregation where I came from, thought, well, these folks might be interested in hearing what I have to say and perhaps even come to worship in this beautiful outdoor setting. But if, as it also happened on occasion, I strolled into a campsite where there are four young 20-something guys well into their third six-pack because the pile of beer cans on the picnic table was getting higher and higher, I thought, yeah, I'm not so sure that they're going to be interested in what I'm selling. I learned early on that my presumptions, my assumptions, needed to go out the window. Sometimes the people from Minnesota were rude, which, you know, that goes against Minnesota nice. Other times, people who I least expected to be receptive, in fact, were. I want to tell you about a guy I'll call Norm. It was maybe my third weekend into the summer. Walked into this campsite. Norm was by himself. There was a beat-up Volkswagen van. Norm would be what I would call an aging hippie. He had a flannel shirt on, a bandana, hair down to his shoulders, sandy brown, a scruffy beard, working on getting his campfire set up. I reluctantly walked up and made my pitch. I'm Jeff Isley. I work with the Christian Ministry of the National Parks. We're going to have worship tomorrow, and we'd love to have you come. Thank you very much. Norm said, well, tell me about this. Who are you, and why are you doing this? And so we got into a conversation, talked for a while at Norm's campsite. It wasn't long. But then he said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. Because I'm really more into creation spirituality myself. I think God is in all things, and that's kind of my thing. But I'll come to worship if you would go with me on a ranger hike tomorrow afternoon. We're going to learn about edible plants and interesting stuff like that. I said, well, that's a fair exchange. I really didn't think that Norm would show up for worship. So what could it hurt to agree? The next morning was dark, cloudy, very cool, intermittent showers. Worship was at 9. I'm standing there by myself at 8:57. Nobody shows up. Not a surprise. And then right before 9 o'clock, one person comes wandering into the campgrounds, campfire circle. And you know who it is, right? It's Norm, the only worshiper that day. And so we sat down on one of the benches and had a conversation. I talked to him about what I was going to say in the message. We didn't have worship. We just chatted about what my presentation was going to be about. And then he said, well, we'll see you at 1. I said, yes, I will. And I did. And we rendezvoused and went on this ranger-led hike together. And it stuck in my mind that I had treated Norm like a potential, maybe, possibly, probably not worshiper. And he kind of treated me like a brother and invited me in. You never know who God might gather into God's circle, into God's purposes. And that's what we learn about, one of the things we learn about in today's gospel. Speaking of surprise worshipers, today we meet the Magi. And a few details about the Magi, sometimes the wise men in the translation you heard. We don't know that they're kings. That tradition comes from the Isaiah lesson that Adam read. It talks about the kings coming, the kings being welcome. The Magi were probably Zoroastrian priests. They were astrologers. The footnote in my Bible says they're astrologers. They were not Jewish scholars. They may or may not have been aware of the First Testament, the Old Testament. They read the stars. And yet somehow it was traditional that in the rising of a new star or a recognition of star, that meant something big was happening. Royalty was being born somewhere. They got that much. They followed the star, as you know, the story, and arrived at the house. Different details in what we read in Luke doesn't mean that Matthew is wrong and Luke is right or vice versa. This probably happens a bit later. They come to the house where they find baby Jesus and Mary, and they give their incredibly extravagant gifts to this newborn king who they don't really know much about other than the fact that he's a king. It's really a strange meeting. In many ways, they don't belong there. They're not part of Jesus' tradition. And yet here they are, these magi, however many there were. We don't know there are three either. It's tradition because of the three gifts. They are kneeling down. They are paying homage. They are worshiping a Capricorn by their tradition, perhaps. The fact that they're astrologers reminded me that once upon a time when I was in junior high, I was reading the personal column in the Minneapolis paper. I don't know why I was reading the personal column, but there was a very small ad for Dial a Horoscope. Anybody remember Dial a Horoscope? At least the daily papers often had horoscopes. Every day you could read your horoscope. Well, this sounded kind of interesting, so I dialed a horoscope and told me what this day was going to be like, and then the next day dialed it again and got another one. And later that week, my mom saw me on the phone not saying anything, but listening. She said, "Who are you talking to?" So I just dialed my horoscope. And this great look of, my mom was very displeased. Because horoscopes are not something that Christians did. People who believed in horoscopes were them. And we were over here, this is us. And she said, "No, don't do that. Don't call the horoscope blind. I don't want you to get caught up in that stuff. We don't believe in the stars guiding our lives. We believe that God guides our lives." She had the same reaction as the time we snuck a Ouija board into our house. That was also not a good thing to do. They are them, and we are us. And then I read that there were astrologers, them, who came to the bedside of the baby Jesus. The gospel reminds us today that God is so determined. God wants so much to make God's self known that God will hang a star in the heavens to attract foreigners, astrologers, to come and meet the Christ child. What a gift, not just for us, to be reminded that our circle is much wider, that our God is much bigger than what we give God credit for, but that God will use people like astrologers and others to do things. God's mission, the coming of God's kingdom, cannot be stopped by the Herods, who with all their power would try to enforce their will by bringing it to a halt. And God will not wait around for those who are part of the inside circle, who might know better. God will not wait for them, for us to pay homage to the Christ child. God will keep widening who God invites in to include. God is so very determined to be found that God will gather surprising people in surprising ways and use them to accomplish God's purposes. The Magi were changed by their encounter with Jesus. We don't know how, sort of like I said on Christmas Eve about the shepherds, we don't know what happens to the shepherds after they leave the manger. We don't know what happens to the wise men. Matthew does give us this detail. It's really a geographical detail. He says they went home by another road. They were warned in a dream. They were warned not to go back to Herod, but to go home by another road. I think that's a geographical identification, but I suspect it's also about their lives. From here on out, they walked by another road. They walked a different way. Pastor James Howell says, once you have met the Christ child, you do not keep plodding along the same pathways, the same old pathways. It is a new day. It is a new road. And now we are at the beginning of a new year. And as we hear this account of how God works in ways that surprise us, invites people who we don't expect to show up, does things that we can't imagine, I think we enter 2022 with new hope. I hope you do. And I want to just take a couple minutes to ask you, I mean, I could give you my list, but wondering what is it that you are hoping for? Not New Year's resolutions. I mean, mine are pretty much the same. Pray more, lose weight, you know. What are you hoping for in 2022? What are some things you're hoping for? The floor is open. What do you hope for in this new year? I suspect whatever you hope for, somebody nearby will be hoping for that too. What do you hope for? End of COVID. Collective effort for many and various things. Coming together instead of flying apart. End of COVID. Peace. Yes, thank you. What else? What else are you hoping for? What are you praying for? What can we pray for this year? Joy. More joy. A director of faith formation. Let's get specific. Yes. Amen. Amen. And a musician. Yes. Both and. All in one or two. It doesn't matter. Well, we'll do whatever, whoever God brings. Come Holy Spirit. What else? What? Good health, yes. For our loved ones to stay healthy and for those who are sick to be healed. Yeah. The bad news at the turning of the calendar is that between December 31st and January 1st or January 2nd, things don't change that much, right? We bring the baggage of the old year into the new year. It's not like we snap our fingers and COVID is gone and the problems of last year are suddenly over. That's the bad news. The good news is that the God who walked with us through last year continues to walk with us. This God who expands our imagination, expands who we assume God might use or what we assume God might do. God is bigger than that, and this God still walks with us. I think one of the best examples that I know of about this is someone that we lost this past week. I mean, who could imagine? Who can imagine? I mean, who but God could say, I want someone to change the world. I'm going to raise up someone who's going to change the world. And I'm going to use a black child born to a poor family in one of the most racist, brutal countries in the world. I'm going to bring that's where that child's going to be born, this terribly oppressive place. And I'm going to raise him. I'm not going to give him a lot of money. I'm not going to give him political power. I'm going to make him, in this case, happens to be a preacher. And you know what? The world's going to be different because of him. Because he's going to have courage. He's going to have compassion. He's going to have joy. He will persevere through the most incredible of difficulties. He will transform a nation from a nation that's consumed by apartheid to a nation what he calls a rainbow nation, a nation where people of all kinds of economic backgrounds and colors of skin will share leadership. Not a perfect nation. Desmond Tutu died last Sunday. I think one of the great men of our lifetime, of my lifetime. And he was at the front of transforming South Africa from this racist apartheid country to a country that was ruled by people of multiple skin colors. And along the way, as they kind of fell off the road again, he continued to hold people accountable in this amazingly courageous way. And after he sort of got South Africa, not figured out, but on track, he continued to work for global justice, worked for LGBTQ+ rights. He worked for addressing climate change. He was an advocate for the Palestinians. He didn't stop. And along the way, at the center of it all was this deep faith that God continues to be at something, to be doing something in the world, to be especially to be gathering in people, all kinds of people, all kinds of religions, all kinds of economic backgrounds, because that's God's dream. He called it God's dream for humanity. And God will continue to be about that. And as we look at 2022, look forward to this new year, and think about our text for today about God bringing astrologers into the circle, and thinking about how God raises up people like Desmond Tutu, we can be hopeful. We will be hopeful. May you be hopeful as we enter this new year, to remember that this God of expansive imagination, a God who will follow through on God's promises, will lead us and guide us into what's ahead. Thanks be to God. Amen.